بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته رزقنا ويا رب العالمين سبحانك اللهم بارك لي You know, I'm an impatient person sometimes, and I learn because I have three kids. And I like things done quick and efficiency, and I have my faults, but anyway. Brother Islam, you know, our imam here, he always leads us in Salah. He's really my imam, and I have a great love for him and Brother Gibran. And Brother Islam's family actually is a wonderful, wonderful family, and may Allah bless them. He told me that to come out and give a talk about carrying the flag. I don't know about carrying any flag, but what I did was did a topic on responding to the call. Now, as youth, we're here. I know it's been a tiring day for you. Some of you are extremely tired, exhausted. Also, myself, I'm exhausted. I haven't barely slept last night. All thanks to Brother Islam. He's a very vibrant personality, non-stop. And my friend Sheikh was also here, who's moved to Toronto. So, responding to the call, الرَّدُّ عَلَى الدَّعْوَةِ, that how do we respond to the call of the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's also الْإِجَابَةُ النِّدَاءِ, responding or giving a call back, reacting to something that is given to us. Now, ijaba means an answer. And our answer has been weak and watered down. Have you noticed, even if you look in the masjid, you know, every masjid is my masjid because I'm part of the ummah, but when you look at it, you know, people are just nonchalantly sitting down, either it's like a bullet recitation, like, alhamdulillah, ta'almoon. And what we get nothing from it, and I really think that our thinkers need to come out and really give the group a focus. So the brothers and sisters, we don't have a focus. Everybody wants to be called a sheikh. Everybody wants to be called an imam. Oh, it's me, you gotta go through. I'm the big guy, look at me. When they come up to the podium, they cannot do anything. They cannot anybody, and they all they do is cause misery to people. So I think what you need to do, especially you youth, you need to actually get into gear and do something. Not just talking about it, not being just people who are just floating away and saying, well, what do I do? Oh, night of the 27th. Yes, inshallah, night of the 27th. I truly believe that it was two nights ago because all the signs were there. Everything was there. And I was totally in grief because I wasn't up the whole night doing, but I was truly believe, my personal opinion, I'm not making a fatwa, but I truly believe it. So we are become watered down. And ijaba also means reply. Our reply has been reactionary and unreasonable. Why is that? Anybody can say anything and we become reactionary. I mean, you know, my brother's car was parked over there. Whoa, why did you park the car? Okay, I made a mistake. No, we're going to have it out with you. So it's always a reactionary step that we're taking. Somebody says something, we need to say something, and we need to keep that grudge, keep going on. So anything, oh, Allahumma, 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 we heard Allahumma 1 hour, we got nothing from it. I mean, tiredness maybe, you know, exhaustion, but nothing from it, meaning we haven't come back to understanding the deen in the proper way. So, and we have been also unreasonable. Somebody says something to you, you go beyond. Ayatul munafiqun arba, that one of the signs of the hypocrites are four. One is three, one is four, and the fourth one is the one who goes excessiveness into fighting. You go just beyond that. So a brother and sister could have said something to you, but you actually take it in another way. So what are you going to do with your life right now? What are you going to do? Oh, I'm just going to do what I'm doing because I'm the best Muslim there ever is. What are you going to do? So ijaba, what is your response going to be? So another way is a response. It means response. And our response has been odious and has been unpleasant. We haven't been thinkers. We haven't said something right thing. We're worried about titles so we can put it on our doors, in our center. Actually, to tell you the truth, I never get a big flowery thing. I'm so and so, I'm so and so, I'm flying from here. I'm director for Center for Islamic Development, clearislam.com and all this. We did this and we did that. No, because we need to keep doing rather than having these big appellages that are stuck to our name and we're ineffective. So what you need to do is really, if you want to work for the sake of Allah, some of you tell me, oh, but nobody's giving me any credit. You want credit from Allah Ta'ala. It's good that the leadership should understand to give a little pat on the back. It's very important. But if they haven't done that, you are still working for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So know that you are coming to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not coming to please anyone. Look at how we even dress up. Look at how we stand outside the masjid. The sisters are coming, the brothers are ill. What's that? What's that? Are we in the hood somewhere? I grew up in the hood, and they don't act like that sometimes. And these are non-Muslims. They sometimes give the Muslim sisters ways to go out and, oh, I got a muswak in my mouth, man. What is that? Or look at me, I'm wearing the five kappa. What's this kappa? Kappa? What is that? Naked women and men on your t-shirts? How can we come into the masjid with that? Kappa, is it kappa? Is it, what is it? Kappa. Tell me now before I beat you because it's coming at 12 o'clock at night. You think I'm joking with you? Kappa, you're wearing kappa. Naked women. I didn't know what it was, so I came very close to the brother. I said, what's that, brother? Let me see. He said, oh, nothing, brother. Nothing. There's something there. I said, let me see it. I said, how can you come with naked women back to back on your t-shirt and pants? Okay. Don't kick the youth out, but at least tell them, because we have gone so low. So what we have to do now is to come back up. So coming back up takes the task. So your response has to be pleasant. Another word for ijaba means fulfillment. And our fulfillment is wanting intelligence. We don't have intelligence to deal with. We have become a people who just A, B, C, D. He's good, he's bad, that's it, finish. Otherwise, we're very good at politics. We cut this one off, bring this one in, chop this one, he's good, he's bad. And even in this time, we have to realize that we need intelligent human beings. Now, da'wah itself. Now, da'wah means call, and our call should be replete with wisdom. Tell them about salah. Do you know about salah? Why is it so magnificent that you know about salah? Because they say now that when in salah, if you go down, if you make ruku', you actually expunge the phlegm out of your lungs. You actually make the blood go to your heart much easier, so the circulation becomes much easier. When you go into sajda, you put your moral center onto the you put your forehead onto the ground. Your moral center. Tell the Christians that. Go and tell them that. Say, listen, Jesus, peace be upon him, in your own Bible, went to the Garden of Gethsemane, put his forehead on the ground, said, Father, take this cup away from me. Say, look what we're doing. And now say, the moral center, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that he will drag the transgressor from the forelock. So that every decision is made here. So when you tell them about it, and also tell them that when you go into these positions, it's just not a physical thing that has no benefit. It has benefit. It actually rushes blood to the face, so it massages the face. Because face is the thing that you want to actually keep. Your countenance. Have you noticed some people? They could be praying, but they have dirty hearts. So they have no shine on their faces, and they look very repulsive. So even when they smile, you say, oh, alhamdulillah. And everybody feels that, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, we're like the soldiers of the heart. And when they meet, and if they get along, yes, and if they don't, they depart. And this is what happens with the people. Khairul Amin, he's there. I don't know him, but he's my brother. And I love when I see him. He has a very nice face, nice hat. You know, he looks beautiful, and whenever he comes, he has always a smiling face. And I feel very close to him, because he's my brother. Raise your hand, Khairul Amin. Right there. Takbir. Allahu Akbar. So, you know, this is how we should be telling people about Salah. So you, when Brother Islam and Brother Jibran and all these brothers who are trying to help the youth, when they're trying to tell you to come to Salah and come to learn, you're not going to learn the Salah unless you actually study it. The Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires that you study it. In the Qur'an it says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. That don't you reflect on the Qur'an. يَتَدَبَّرُونَ means that you're reflecting and pondering over the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a must for the human being, for the mu'min, for the believer, to reflect on the signs of Allah. And if you're going to learn your salah, you have to learn it well. Now, da'wah also means appeal. How are you going to carry this message? That you have to have an appeal. Now, an appeal means that we should be brimming with understanding. Talk about the hijab. What is wrong with the hijab? One of the non-Muslims, she said, oh, what is this thing? What is this thing on her head? I said, look, which background do you come from? She said, well, I'm a Christian. I said, well, the mother of your God used to wear that. And shame on you. And then she couldn't say anything. Then I said, well, hold on. The reason why we wear it is just not a head covering. It is a total covering. Because now skin cancer is on the rise. Skin cancer, isn't it? Huh? Yes, it is. So in the winter, they because of the cold, they cover themselves. They say in the summer, you should also cover yourself. So what we also do is stay away from the harmful things that Allah has, but also stay away from the harmful eyes of these devilish men. That is very... Assalamu alaikum, sister. Wa rahmatullahi. Wa barakatuh. What's this? I mean, either we don't give salam to the sister, or we give salam to the sister in such a seductive way that it's repulsive. At least you have some medium course. Assalamu alaikum, sister, and keep walking. You want to marry her, go to her father. Or go through the door, not the window. So tell them about hijab. What is the reason for hijab? And sisters, if you're going to do something, if you're really going to go out and do da'wah, wear it to the best ability. Don't just wear it half thing, having the earrings coming out like that. Do you see my earrings? It's gold. It's Diana Gold, the 12 characters. Tell them about hijab. Tell them about hijab. Tell them about understanding of the hijab. You're going to wear it good. Hijab, in 50 principles, has its views. It should not be transparent. It should be loose enough. You can wear anything as long as it's loose enough. I mean, don't become, you know, ostentatious in your dress, but wear it to the best of ability. But wear it, if you're going to wear it good, because at least you're telling Tommy Hilfiger that I have nothing to do with your dressing plan for me or Calvin Klein. So if you're really going to take the deen to the next level, then you have to take that step. And that's da'wah. And da'wah also means demand. Our demand should be filled with justice and excellence. You should tell them, this lady, Irshad Manji, what's her name? Manji. I call her Irshad Manji, because she's really mangy. I mean, what we should do for her, as I told the Ryerson student, absolutely no reply. No reply. She's illiterate in my books. She's unscholarly. She's just all over the place. She doesn't have intelligence. She's not putting... I can make a statement anywhere. I can take one out here, cut it here, put it here. I can confuse and you'll never win. That's why Ali Abdullah said this, that I cannot win from a jahil, but I can win from an alim. Because, you know, alim will have some principles that they go by. These people that don't have principles. So our reply should, these kind of people should be, no comment. No comment. That's it. No comment. News media wants something? Sorry, excuse me. No comment. Because she wants to be another Rushdie. So just no comment. Just no comment. Let her do and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after her. So be filled with justice. And you should demand justice. Say, look, she's doing this. Write a letter to the organizations that are bringing and say, we don't like it. It's not good for us. It's not good. You know, write in the way that they write. Because we have become unintelligent. We don't know how to write any longer. We don't know how to read any longer because it's too much TV that we're doing every single day. Da'wah also means a request. And request should be flowing from knowledge. Request should be flowing from knowledge. When they said Jesus alayhi salam is born of a miraculous birth, and that's why he's God, tell them that Adam alayhi salam was born without a father nor mother. I said that's a bigger miracle. So that's called wisdom, that's called understanding. You tell them about that. And da'wah lastly also means a plea. And our plea should be cascading from love for good of people. We should love good for people. Irrespective of Muslim or non-Muslim, we should love good for the people. As one of the brothers last night, they rolled out the window and told the other person, he said, look, your car is leaking gas and a huge amount. So that's loving good for the people. Why? Because he could end up hurting himself, killing somebody else. So you have to actually love good for the people. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا. That the one who calls, who is better to call, أحسن, because this comes from حسنة, means to beautify. That who is better in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and does righteous deeds. وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and said that I am the one who is submitted. They don't say, I am the one who is Pakistani, I am the one who is Guyanese, I am the one who is Kuwaiti. No, he's saying, I am the one who is submitted to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَاتُ وَالسَّيِّئَةُ وَلَا سَيِّئَةُ, that the hasanat are not equal to the bad deeds, so the good deeds are not equal. And then Allah Ta'ala says, اِذْبَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ, and repel that, what they're saying, with something that is better. Because you have to use this. Youth of today, wallahi, if we don't wake up, it's nice that we laugh, it's nice, you know, usually I'm a very serious person, and lately I've been getting reviews like, oh, a funny brother. Oh, mashallah. I am really not a funny brother. If you read it, Mansoor and the brothers, they know me. I'm all about business, but sometimes in a setting like this, we have to make a few things to lighten the situation. But at the same time, we have to wake up today, and today is the last day that we have to wake up. We cannot go another day saying that, oh, we're going to live our lives the way we're living. So Brother Islam, Brother Gibran, to have a program, you need to come in, you need to join, inshallah, and do something good. Now, this thing, the Hassan al-Basri, he said, this is the beloved of Allah, the one who gives da'wah. This is the beloved of Allah. This is the close friend of Allah. This is the chosen one of Allah. This is the most beloved of all the people on earth to Allah. He responded to the call of Allah, and he called mankind to what he responded to himself. Look at this statement from Hassan al-Basri. Look at it, radiallahu anhu. And be very careful, brothers and sisters. I don't care if you're Imam, Mufti, whoever you are. When you take names of these great pious predecessors, make sure you say, at least you say, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with them, rahmatullah alayhi rahmatullah, may Allah have rahmah on them. It is the least thing that we can do out of the great things that they have left behind. It is imprudent, it lacks adab. It lacks Islamic adab when you say that. When the sheikh of the old, when they speak, they always speak with the great, great respect of the people who have given these traditions to us. Be very, very careful to say al-Shafi'i and say nothing after it. Say al-Shafi'i alayhi rahmatullah, may Allah be. At least say Imam al-Shafi'i. You can call every one of these guys an Imam. And barely they're a'imma. They're really not Imams, to tell you the truth. I hate to blow somebody's bubble. But really, tell you the truth, the Imam is really a leader of the community. He's not somebody who's flaky and doing things like this and that. He's really something else. He really sees, oh sister, you're in problem? I'm there. I'll help you. Brother, you, I'm telling you to finish this work so I can help this sister. The Imam is somebody who works the community. We hardly have any a'imma within us. Now, idfa, this word idfa means, Umar radiallahu anhu said, they said there's no better punishment. Just listen to this. He said, there is no better punishment for the one who has disobeyed Allah. There is no better punishment for the one who has disobeyed Allah with regard to you than you obeying Allah with regard to them. Look at how beautiful that is. If somebody hurts you and did something wrong to you, you obey Allah in doing the right thing to them. There is no bigger punishment for them than what you have done. It shows a moral excellence, and this is what we should be. That's why the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was asked with Jibreel Alayhi Salaam, you know, what is Ihsan? Tell me about Ihsan. And he said, what did he say? He said, you worship Allah and ta'abud Allah ka'annaka tara fa in lam takun tara fa innahu yara. That you worship Allah as though you see Him, know that you don't see Him, know that He sees you. And that's why the Salafs used to say that if you think that you are doing sins in the sight of Allah, and you know that He's watching you, you're scorning His sight. And if you think that He's not watching you, you are in disbelief. So which one are we doing? Where are we at? How far are we going to keep dragging our feet? Oh, I'm not going to do it today, maybe tomorrow. Man, you've got to get up for Fajr. You've got to get up for Asr. You gotta pray Dhuhr. You just have to. It is a must. It is incumbent on you, whether you're traveling, whatever, you have to say your salah. And this is the most that you can do. Now as youth, which are called Shabab. Shabab means to raise the four legs as though about to jump. Now, Allah Ta'ala says, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِن نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. That Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala created you from a nutfa, and verily you have become an open opponent. And what is an open opponent saying? That I know better what the course of my life is. You want to be a good Muslim? You have to actually rectify yourself from within. And I'm not saying pointing fingers to people, but sometimes you need to shake somebody up and say, "Akhi, you've been doing this too long. You have to wake up and smell the coffee." Now if somebody new is coming to the masjid, her hijab is a little messed up, she's not wearing, no problem. Ahlan sahlan, sister, come in. Show her love, show her compassion. But at the same time, same thing with the brother. He's coming in, yo, oh. I say, "Akhi, are you drunk?" what are you doing? We're not rappers, we're not rockers, we're Muslims. What are you coming like headbangers? I see Muslims with hair sticking out like this. What is that? And it's a shameful thing. And I don't mean you, brother. That's a nice fight. So realize your beginning and end. The scholars say that if you look at something, the beginning and end, you will see where it will end, and you will see where it will begin. Meaning it has nothing to do with it. It's nothing. So anything that you're glorifying, I need to get the BMW, I need to get the big house, and you cannot even breathe to get there, just remember that it will be nothing after 100 years. How many people went away? We will be nothing. Leave something that somebody will be making dua for you. Yes, Brother Islam used to teach us on cold days on a Sunday morning. Brother Gibran used to come. Brother Islam's wife used to come and teach the sisters. Yes, they may Allah have mercy on them, because through them my family was guided. What a big thing! And we take these things as a very small thing that we don't even care for it. We just toss it aside. Oh, I have to go and teach. Yes, you have to go and teach. Alif, ba, ta. And how I dislike it with the kids. Alif, ba, ta. What is this? Ba, alif, ba, ta, ta. Ta? No. Ta. Ta. And even myself, I get confused. But I go on. It's frustrating, but I do it. But the problem is that we need to do it in a better way. Now, inshallah. First and foremost, brothers and sisters, your character. Truthful tongue and a truthful heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ اللَّهُ هَذَا يَوْمُ يَنْفَعُ صَادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ. That this is the day that the sadiqeen, the truthful one, will be rewarded for their truthfulness. So you have to be a truthful human being. Now this is the day to be counted, brothers and sisters. Youth are first and foremost their mind. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said he can be a bakhil, somebody stingy, but he cannot be a liar. He can be bakhil, but he cannot be a liar. Why? Because a liar, you cannot lie in things of faith. So liar, and we're lying on small things. So we should stop lying. Because if you keep lying on small things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you right into Jahannam. Because you'll lie on big things. And that's how the thief becomes big. He steals a small thing, he gets away, bigger thing, until he really gets and ruins his life. Why take that way? So don't be a liar. Are you actually have to count that day? Secondly, foul speech. We have to stop the foul speech. It's very easy to take it out of your mouth, but Ali radiallahu anhu said when the speech comes out, when before it comes out, you control it. But after it comes out, it controls you. It controls you. Be careful what you say. They say sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Actually, names hurt much more than sticks and stones, because the scar is there for much longer. From the Islamic belief, you might break my bone, it will heal. But the scar that you left on my heart by calling me horrid names, calling me a hypocrite, calling me a fasiq, calling me things that are not, I don't like that. No believer would like to be called a kafir. And I see brothers and sisters calling each other this, like as though they're chewing gum. Thirdly, hatred in the heart for people. If you think you have become good, don't think that you can point a finger to somebody else. I don't have time. I know my father-in-law is the busiest person on earth.
But he always has time. He's not like this. He's not that. So you have to have that hate in your heart for the people. You have to actually deal with them in a nice way. You have to say, okay, I don't like that. Why should I hate him? I should try to not do that, because this is sicknesses of the heart that you keep bringing hate. I hate this one, I hate this one. And end up you hating yourself at the end, because you become a miserable human being. You can't understand your salah, you can't understand your dua, nothing, because you have nothing but hatred. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, taqullaha. O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa kunu ma'a as-sadiqin. That, and be with the people of truthfulness. This is showing environment. I don't have much time to go through this ayah, but it's showing environment. Meaning be with the environment of the people who are truthful. You're not being with just Guyanese or Trinidadians or Pakistanis or Kuwaitis or Saudis or something. You're being with the people who are truthful. Truthful people. So it's showing you that your environment has to be conducive for your Islamic character to grow. Just try that. Try a friend who is good, who is a good person. You will see that you change after a while when you're in that environment. Very, very important, brothers and sisters. Your environment is what is going to make you. You are a product of your environment, as the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The deen is on the khalil. Your way of life is depending on your friend. What is your friend? Now, our friend is the TV, our friend are vulgar people, our friend are people who actually are devoid of the iman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Now, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, his brother sent, he sent his brother, he said, go and see what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing. He said, Ra'aytu yahmur bi makarim al-akhlaq, that I only saw him perfecting good conduct. That's all I saw. That's all I saw the Messenger of Allah doing. Perfecting good conduct. Because if we have good conduct, then we will be great people. And good conduct is very, very, you know, it's something that you need to work in. I was in one of the countries, and this was a sheikh. He was really a sheikh, not like milkshake. But he was a sheikh. And he was so humble and so pious. You know, bringing water, bringing tea, something, going on the journey. I mean, amazing. I just said, SubhanAllah. We sat in a taxi one time, and we were going. And this brother, he had the music up. So I just want to see what, because he's really an alim. I want to see how he's going to react. So I'm sitting there to see how he's going to react. And you know what? He didn't say one word to the taxi driver. One single word. And then he started speaking with the taxi driver, how are you? How's your family? After a while. And then he replied, oh, my family's okay. And then he started speaking some more. And then the taxi driver started asking some questions. You know, my salah is like this or something like that. And then all of a sudden he started turning down the music until he turned it off. And then they were having a conversation while he was giving da'wah. If he would have got in the taxi and he said, Usmut ya kazaab! Shut your mouth, you liar! You think he's going to get out of my taxi and get lost. But we didn't, you know, this is called da'wah. And this is called brain. That you actually use your brain. Secondly, modesty. That you have to have modesty. First and foremost, good character. Truthful heart, truthful tongue. Secondly, you have to have modesty. Now in modesty, we lack modesty. First and foremost, in our dress code. The ladies, either it's t-shirts and pants. Not allowed, sister, I'm sorry. I'm with the sisters, because the sisters really go through a lot. Because the brothers want to look like Joe and Tom and Jerry. But the sisters are trying. And I really am with the sisters. But sisters, t-shirts and pants? Not allowed. I can't find anything in Fitness that is allowed. B, scarves and jeans. Oh, you're getting there, but it's not there. C, mini skirt and scarf. Seen it. It's already horrible. And especially an older sister, you know. I don't know. She's talking to me, I don't know where to look. Yes, inshallah, mashallah. Inshallah, sister. You cannot do that. Learn the etiquette. Or shalwar kameez from the Eastern, from Asia, and no scarf. So, and then you want to ask for a good brother's hand. How are you going to get it? You know, you got to be, you know the peacock that has the flower, things like this, brings the tail out like that. We all did it. You know, we used to dress and belly was in, chest was out. I'm a pious Muslim. We all did it. So, me, you know, I had a different approach. I said, you know, you love me and I love me. So you got to have a different approach. You got to have an approach and get married early. What are you waiting for? What's your name, brother? There's an eligible bachelor. His website is White Upon Life. This is true. .com, is it? Yes. So, how do you give dawah when you can say Islam is full of modesty? You cannot do that. But there has to be a way of doing it. I remember one brother came, you know, the Guyanese sisters, those that fight you sometimes, especially when you get a little older. They'll give you a few punches, so you got to be a little easy, you think? So what you got to do, this brother came and said, you should not be wearing pants. She said, you should lower your gaze. I said, good one. Now the men, same thing, brothers, you want me to bash the sisters? Let's take your bashing, inshallah. Tight jeans and no beard. I'm a muscle man. It's not good, it's not conducive to your Islamic character, because once you look in the mirror, it will show a different picture and it will affect you from inside. Be that you have tight t-shirt and some morning stubble because you're getting a little pious, but I don't know if I'm going to keep it. And one thing about the beard, brothers, you know, the reason why we actually keep it is because it has also scientific meaning behind it. They say if you shave it, your sperm count goes down. They also made research amongst non-Muslim women, and they showed them bearded men and unbearded men. And when the bearded men were shown, they said, he's more professional, he's more stable. Many positive qualities with the people who had the beard. The reason why we don't have any more, because we have been indoctrinated over this 100 years to think that in order to shave that. It also, what it does is gives you more coals in your throat. It actually, the beard itself protects you from a lot of germs. It also, when you shave the beard itself, there is no khilaf that I know of that there's something they say, well, it is okay for you to shave unless you have a skin disease or unless your life is in threat. But the beard, there is khilaf. But at the same time, once you shave it, you harm the root endings of your teeth. So your teeth actually become weak. At the, you know, the brothers at 45, brother, you've been shaving a good 30 years. And since 15, they said if you shave from 15 to 55, you spend 135 days, 24 hours a day in that bathroom shaving. Can you imagine that? 135 days of your life in the bathroom going, Mach 3, Mach 4, Mach 5, what do they come up with? Now do they have, what do they have? Mach 10? Don't do for you to get rid of that. Do you see the lion shaving in the jungle? No, he's a lion. You know, he's just as useless as the brothers. The sisters. And see that you have pants falling down. I was just in London, England, and I was looking over my notes before I went in. I watched this one guy walking up, non-Muslim, and his pants were falling, and I said, oh, he's going to lift it now, and he would lift this, and he would lift this. So I wrote, I said, London Bridge is falling. So we have to be careful in wearing that kind of thing. It lacks adab when you're showing your underwear. It's not good. And you know, pants are supposed to be worn, that you wear it properly. Now, you know, if it's falling apart, somebody look at you, are you crazy? I mean, would you like your pants to fall down? Or bandana and some material, toque chain and a picture, yo, man, I'm there, rough rider. I'm a rough rider. What are you rough rider for? What are you riding up, man? I'm a rough rider. Okay. So how are you going to get a good sister? Your sister, you know, I'm a good guy. Yeah, but you know, I'm a good guy. And he doesn't have vocabulary. Sisters, don't marry these bumbling idiots because they're no good for you. They can't even speak. They can't articulate. They're not a people of reading. They're not a people of dua. They're not a people of dhikr. They're not a people of salah. They're nothing. You have to demand something good from your husband, not a Mercedes or a bank account or something. Demand from your husband goodness. Make sure he's kind. That's a very good quality to have in your husband, that he's kind. So now, we want to do that. Now, the message of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, Al-haya la yati illa bil khair. That the haya, that modesty, brings nothing except khair, brings nothing except goodness. So if you're modest in your dress, if you're modest in your ways of doing things, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you with doing that. Secondly, in dealing with each other and dealing with the non-Muslims, Imam al-Shafi'i radiallahu anhu, huwa man huwa, he is who he is. Imam Ahmad, he said, afsah al-nas, that he is the most articulate of human being. Articulate of human, meaning he تُخَذُ عَنْهُ اللَّغَى. And this is what Hisham al-Nahwi, he said about him, that you can take from him lagha, that he's not just a faqih, you can take from him language. That this is a huge faqih. I mean, this is a man of intelligence. You know what he said? He said, لَا سُرُورَ يَعْدُلُ صُحْبَةَ الْإِخْوَانِ. That there is no happiness like the closeness of the brotherhood. وَلَا غَمَّ يَعْدُلُ فِرَاقَهُمْ. And there is no gham, there is no dissatisfaction, there is no depression, there is no anxiety more than leaving this brotherhood. وَالْغَرِيبُ مَنْ فَقَدَ إِلْفَهُ. And the gharib, the one who is a stranger, has lost this closeness. لَا مَنْ فَقَدَ مَنْزِلَهُ. And not the one who has lost his manzil, not lost his house. So saying that, do that. And you know that, what they said, the oldest, one of the oldest recorded things is you will see Imam Nisa'i or Imam As-Sunni, they'll have the adhkar, and you have the adhkar of Imam An-Nawawi, the practice, the dhikr of Imam An-Nawawi from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They used to say, sell your house, but make sure you have the adhkar of Imam An-Nawawi in your house. Sell your house, but have the adhkar. Have this, because it's very precious. So brothers and sisters, we should have our brotherhood and sisterhood solid. You can't touch my sister, and you can't touch my brother. We're together. Yes, he has his fault, but I'm not going to let him fall, because I love for him what I love for myself. This is how we should be. We should use this night tonight, a blessed night in the day of Ramadan, to come back and really hold brotherhood. To show these people that the brotherhood is still there. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, he told his companion, he said, we have had everything except the closeness of brotherhood, because there is no takalluf in saying what we were saying. No takalluf. We could not say that. We had women, we had power, we had everything, palaces, but we never had closeness. This is the thing we lack, that we could say something to somebody and you wouldn't misconstrue it and take it another way. Look at this, was Muawiyah radiallahu anhu saying that. Now with Muslims, we have become rude, loud talking, cursing, very repulsive. Why is that? You have to give them da'wah. Wallahi, I was in Guyana, and I really think, you know, I don't want to rock anyone's boat, and you know, I'm not somebody who's a paid person and something. I'm alhamdulillah free out of my womb of my mother. May Allah have mercy on her and my father, Ami. But we should really, really be raised something for the GIT. They're doing excellent work in Guyana. Well, I witnessed it with my own eyes. Brother Hasib, Jazallah Khair. He would wake up before Fajr and pray the Hajj. And then he would wake me up and wake the other brothers, take us to the masjid, bring us back, have breakfast ready. Every day he would do that. Then go to school while we would sit and sleep and relax. And then we would go to the da'wah as though we're extremely tired. What a man! And the whole complex of GIT burnt down, and we can't even raise $200,000-$300,000. those brothers are working on the fields. We give somebody shahada on a boat, and then he had to come off. Close to 250 people. I just went there again after going to Trinidad. Another 19 of them. We went to Santa Mission. They're working. And this brother, mashallah, he's really a leader. I really call him imam. He's my imam. And I have a big love for him. And so where are the Guyanese and where are the Muslims that when they see such a tragic thing happen, their hands are tied. And we have to look for political situation. Can we use the masjid? Can we go to that center? Can we please ask and beg? No. What is that? Where is our Islam and where is our Iman? These people are working day in and day out. I really think we should do something. I think if they give us permission, we should maybe raise something for them. These are good people. I've seen it with my eyes. And I hate fundraising. The worst thing I hate is fundraising. But I have to do it for my center because it's going down. I'm going here, going there, going everywhere. The brother said, you're doing it for everyone else. We have tahdeed program. We have da'wah program. We send free Qur'ans. We send clothing. We feed people. We take care of students. Every single thing we do. And you can't ask anything. You know, because when you're doing it yourself, you feel shy. That's just my personality. But the brother said, you can't do that anymore. I think we should do that. I think we should do that. I think we should help them. Should really find out from Brother Islam and Brother Gibran as to the work they're doing. Now, I know I said this before. How long do I have? Huh? Take your time? I do. Take your time. Are you guys okay?
Yeah.
Takbir!
Hello.
Oh, mashallah. I'm okay. Good to go to four. Never again in IMO. Man. What a dua, 1 hour. Allahumma. Allahumma bed, Allahumma. MashaAllah. May Allah increase it, inshaAllah. We as scholars of Islam, we are blamed for being unbalanced. But we should be the most balanced people. We are called terrorists, say we have nothing to do with it. Because this is holding the flag, brothers and sisters. In Tansurullah yansurukum wa yuthabbit aqdamakum. That if you help Allah's cause, Allah will help you and He will plant your feet firmly. So what you have to do now is when they call you that, say, look, terrorism means equal to, the shortest definition, is the use of violence to achieve ends. The use of violence to achieve ends. Now, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he told Osama radiallahu anhu, he said, do not betray or be treacherous or be vindictive. Do not mutilate. Do not kill the aged or the women. Do not cut or burn palm trees or fruit trees. Do not slay an animal except to eat. You will find and you will come across some people who confine themselves to worship. Leave them alone. This was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq telling Usama radiallahu anhu what to do in when you're meeting in a manly battle. What to do. All these things, this is far more elevated than any Geneva Convention, any international law. This is far more elevated than history. In July 15th, 1099, over 70,000 Muslims, including women, children, and the elderly, they broke the children's skulls by knocking them against the walls. And I'm quoting, knocking them against the walls. Threw babies from rooftops, roasted men over fires and cut the bellies of women to see if they had swallowed any gold. Draper, History of Intellectual Development of Europe, Volume 2, page 77. We say you're peaceful. Alhamdulillah, we take that. You're peace-loving, turn the other cheek, mashallah. But we're saying if you just verify the text, then we're even more peaceful than you are. So why are you portraying us in that light? Salah ad-Din Ayyubi, alayhi rahmatullah, when he went in, he gave his own personal physicians to help Richard the Lionheart. And not only that, a great thing from there is that not only did he do that he took his personal army. When the Christians wanted to leave Jerusalem, a group of them, he took a personal army and he took them to where they wanted to go because they were afraid of their own Christian brethren because they thought that these were heathens so they would get killed in the crusade also. So he gave them an army escort to where they wanted to go. And when he left them, they got killed. Not by Muslims. So where did Salah al-Din Ayyubi get this impeccable character? Where? Ask them. You call Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam a terrorist? Is that what you do? One of the riwayahs that out of all the battles between Muslims and non-Muslims that happened in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is 1290. Some say up to 1500. You drop one bomb these days and you kill 5,000 people. Where is the act of terrorism? So if you want to uphold the deen, brothers and sisters, you have to learn and study and understand and be serious. It's good to be jovial with your brothers. It's not good to be a stiff all the time. But when you're studying, you study. And you have this intellectual power to focus yourself. Brothers and sisters, we need to focus ourselves. Don't just come to Salah dragging your feet. Get something from the Salah itself. So ask these people, where did they get it? Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he said, don't cook on that anthill because there's ants there. Somebody concerned about ants telling you to murder people? Does that make any sense to you? Now when it is said to you that holy warriors, tell them baloney. Why are you calling us holy warriors? Holy warriors have muqaddasa. There's not one single word in the Quran nor in the Sunnah. Holy warriors. We don't have something like that. It's a crusade coinage. We're not saying anything. We're saying you're peaceful. But we're saying we're even more peaceful than you because we don't have a word like this. Say the sword. It is not mentioned one single time in the Book of Allah. Not one single time. They keep saying, live by the sword, die by the sword. Come tell me what happened to the Indonesians. Were they converted by the sword? And do we live by the sword, die by the sword, that there's, you know, thousands and thousands of cops that are living in Egypt and in Pakistan and all this, all these areas? Tell me, who was converted by the sword? But in the Bible alone itself, I'm just telling you facts. I believe Christians are good people. I think you can give them dawah. Some of them are very, very nice, equitable, balanced. But at the same time, you tell them that over 200 times sword is mentioned in your text. And you're telling us that we are the people who live by the sword and die by the sword. So it's an intellectual development, brothers and sisters, that you need to have, inshallah. Now, it says, and Samson said, with the jaw of an ass, meaning a donkey, heaps upon heap, with the jaw of an ass, I have slain 1,000 men. Judges 15:16. I didn't do that terrorism. It's not stated in the Quran. Yes, we believe you're peaceful, but we're even more peaceful than you are. And when it is said, your women have no rights. Brothers and sisters, you know why we're discussing this? Why are we discussing? Do you want me to stop? Why are we just, it's a very serious matter that you need to actually take today and really build yourself. Tell them the original sin. Said, and Adam had not the one, was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. 1 Timothy 2:14. I didn't say that. I believe you're peaceful. I truly believe you're peaceful. But we're even more peaceful. We give more rights to the women that you have given. You're saying that Adam was not the one deceived. The Quran says that both were deceived. In one of the verses, it only takes Adam alayhi salam's name. Only, can you imagine? So we have to really understand with our intellectual ability, with the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, they keep saying childbirth is for atonement of the original sin. No. Tell them childbirth in Islam. That's why the companion said, who shall I keep the best of company? He said, your mother. He said, then who? He said, your mother. Then he said, then who is your mother? And then he said, who? Your father. And one of the other riwayat says, your mother, your father. And then he said, fa'adnakum, the ones who are closer to you, and then the ones who are closer to you. But look at the darajah that the woman has, the mother has. We didn't say that. We're saying the good things that our sisters and our mothers have a right. Secondly, hijab. When they front the sisters with the hijab, sisters, pay attention, inshallah, that you can say that in 1 Corinthians 11:6-10 it says, if a woman does not cover her head, she should have her hair cut off. If she doesn't cover her head, she should have her hair cut off. A man ought not to cover his head, since he is in the image and glory of God, but the woman is in the glory of man. Whose right are we talking about? And then it says, for this reason, the woman ought to have a sign of authority on her head. So the hijab is not modesty for her, it's a sign of authority that she's been bought. That's why when I marry somebody, that she has to change her last name to my last name. This is jahiliya practice. We have to do it now because we can't go through airports. Oh, this is your wife, she has a different name. Yes, this is my wife for a long time. Can't you see my kids, man? Look like me. So the problem is that we, you know, it's not a problem using that, but the woman should have a right to keep her father's name. She has her own identity. She right away, she was Fatima Khan and she becomes Fatima Baloch. What happened to her? She was bought and sold? You really have to think. The Quran says, O Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, tell your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers to draw their cloaks over their bodies, that they would, that it would be better and that they should be known so as not to be annoyed. Look at the beauty and precision of the Book of Allah. Brothers and sisters, you are you. You are our future. If you don't take the flag now, and if you don't take the deen seriously, we will be lost. The attack is heavy and we're fighting over the length of our beard or how we should clean our nails or how far our thobe should go down or what I should wear on my head. Let us get our priorities in order. When they tell you in the Sunnah, inshallah, when they tell you about authority, it says in 1 Timothy 2, 12 to 14, it says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent. You keep telling our sisters that they must be silent, that it says in Islam that she must be silent. When the woman got up and told Umar radiallahu anhu, listen, this is wrong. Umar said, yes, I am wrong and she's right. And the riwayah is that she had a flat nose, so she could be seen and she could be heard. She could be seen, and she could be, it says, she must remain silent. It says in Exodus 21:7, it says, if a man sells his daughter as a servant, she is not to go free as the male servants do. Where's the justice? Why do you keep telling us? We don't tell you anything. Yes, this is in your scripture, but you keep hearing this all the time. But it's much worse than us. Aisha radiallahu anha, she was a master teacher. She knew just like her father. She knew poetry. She knew lineage. The start. Where's our women's scholar? Just, you don't think you have to memorize the Book of Allah? You don't think you have to memorize at the basic? You don't think you have to memorize at least how to wear the hijab? How to cut yourself? You don't think you have that duty? Well, wake up. This duty. This is your duty to come up and hold in. And you know, they keep saying behind every man is a good woman. So here's the center of the household. As Uncle Hussein, he taught me, he says, the cradle rocks the world. So what are you rocking, an empty cradle? So we have to start understanding, brothers and sisters, inshallah. Umm Salama gave advice to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when they were in a trance, they didn't want to move. She told him, take your head, I will follow. Look at that advice. That's a major advice. That is sound advice. Tell me no authority. I just told you, Umar was told by a woman who was very shadid, he was very, very strong. A woman told the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I was married without my consent, Ya Rasulullah. He said, go and divorce him. She said, no, I like him. True. Because she likes him. Why? Because she was just establishing her rights. So the sisters, they have their rights. As soon as inshallah. Fourth thing, the last thing I'll say, inheritance. They keep saying inheritance. In Numbers 27:5, it says, if a man dies and leaves no son, then give the inheritance over to the daughter. In the Quran it says there's a share for the men and share for the women from what is left by their parents. But it's more just. We're not saying anything about you. We're just saying open your mind. Don't keep criticizing and four fingers pointing to yourself. So brothers and sisters, what we have to do as people of taqwa, as people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and foremost, our salah should be solid. Should be solid. With your salah, you will achieve greatness. Imam al-Shafi'i alayhi rahmatullah, he said, you will never achieve greatness if you do not pray tahajjud. You will never achieve greatness if you do not pray tahajjud. You want to achieve greatness in the deen? You have to do it. And you just have to turn on the alarm clock. Wallahi, if you pray tahajjud, I know some brothers who pray tahajjud, their faces change. They get a bright look. Their faces glow. It's an amazing process. So your salah has to be very good. Secondly, the Quran. Ubay ibn Ka'b, radiallahu anhu, he said, it was related to him. Said, أمر بي أن أقرأ عليك لم يكن الذين كفروا. قال سمعني يا رسول الله. That the Messenger of Allah told Ubay ibn Ka'b, radiallahu anhu, he said, that I was commanded to read to you لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, and it was just read today when we were in Taraweeh. He said, did Allah mention me, Ya Rasulullah? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نَعِمْ فَبَكَ عُبَيْ. And then Ubay رضي الله عنه, he wept because of the connection with Allah Ta'ala. Where's our connection with the Book of Allah? Lost. Just reading ayat like it's no good, brothers and sisters. You have to get something from it. The imam should be very cognizant of his jama'ah. That's why when you're leading the prayer, don't elongate the prayer. Because there's people who are sick, the people who are old, people who have babies. You have to care for it because you cannot leave them behind. You're a leader, you're taking your people. You can't even lose one. You have to look at it from that aspect. Become a leader. You know, the Salaf, they said, one of the sheikhs, he told his son, he said, be 1,000 men. And if you can't, be one, but don't be half a man. So if I were to replace you, what would you become? How many people can replace you? One? Two? Or are you really an integral part of your community? If I take you out, will I replace you with 1,000 men? Will I replace you with 1,000 sisters? What is your role in the community, brothers and sisters? You're young now, you can do the things. Why wait till tomorrow? Your nightly prayer is very, very important. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ. That in the night they wake to pray and worship Allah Ta'ala. I know you're tired. And I end, inshallah. I just end with this, saying that Ibn Umar, he said that if only one of my sajdas were accepted, one sajda, he said there would be no dearer friend to me than death itself. Atta al-Aslimi, alayhi rahmatullah, he had a garment one time and he wanted to sell it. And he made it very nice, he took it to the buyer. He said, here you go, I want to sell this garment. He took the garment and he said, well, I'll give you this price. And the price was very low. So he said, why are you giving me such a low price? He said, well, this is wrong, that's not in the right place, this has a defect, look at this. He said, oh. And he started to cry. So the person was also pious. He said, okay, I'll give you more money. He said, I'm not crying because of that. I'm crying because of the fact that I gave you and you're mahir, meaning you're somebody, an expert in this field. And you could find all these defects. He said, how about my deeds in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How will it be? How will I be to be brothers and sisters? How do we pray downstairs? How do we pray, brothers and sisters? How do we pray? How could we pray, pushing each other? Lines are crooked, up and down, not even a salam, not even nothing. I've been in countries where old men would come in, shake your hand, kiss your forehead, make you feel part of the jama'ah. We don't even know brother next to you is praying next to you 5 years, you don't know his first name. Sister praying with you every night, you don't know her name. How far are we going to go like that, brothers and sisters? Love for the people what you love for yourself. And as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, اعمل لدنياك بقدر مقامك فيها. That work in this life to the maqam that you think you have in this life. Work for this life that you think you have this station in this life. واعمل لآخرتك بقدر بقائك فيها. and work for the hereafter, to the length of the hereafter that you have to stay. How long will you have to stay in the hereafter, brothers and sisters? How long? And then he says, وَعْمَلْ لِلَّهِ بِقَدْرِ حَاجَاتِكَ إِلَيْهِ. And work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as according to the need of you and I needing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, وَعْمَلْ لِلنَّارِ بِقَدْرِ صَبْرِكَ عَلَيْهَا. That work for the fire as to your patience therein. Go tonight, turn on the stove, put it on medium, come very close to it and try to touch it. You cannot even put it, wallahi, you cannot even put it for half a minute. So don't think that you can go into eternity years and years of torment. So understand this hadith in the most profound sense. Give the message, brothers and sisters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you a people of intelligence. Brothers and sisters, it's time to change. It's time to change. The change has to come from you and me. It has to come now. Don't go to your homes thinking that you're just going to be just another piece. No. Think of yourself that I'm going, if they replace me, they have to replace me with 1,000 sisters. They have to replace me with 1,000 men. Not half a person. Think that way, brothers and sisters. And do righteous deeds. And help your brothers and sisters in anything. As the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he stated, he said the believer is never satiated of doing good deeds until they reach Jannah. Never. Never. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and guide you.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.